Amen. All right, so we're hugely switching gears. And so this morning, I want to talk about how do you see God? How do you see Jesus? Because how you see things is important. How you see Jesus will actually affect your ability to live out your faith. Amen. How you see and what you believe about Jesus, how you see Jesus, will determine how you're going to live out your faith. So, really, like, this is the why. Like, why do we come here on a Sunday morning? Why do you give financially? Why do you resist, like, fleshly temptations, right? Why do we do some of the things that we do in our faith? Like, from the outside, you'd look at us and go, you guys are nuts, right? Like, you give, like, a tenth of your income. Like, you, and plus, right? You give and you live your life set, like you live selflessly for other people. Like, really? Like, and we're like, yeah, this is what we do. So the question is, like, why do we do what we do? So to answer those questions, we need to understand why is how we see God, how we see Jesus. And so this morning, I want to talk about seeing Jesus, and maybe in a new way. So you can see Jesus in a lot of different ways, right? You can see Jesus as kind of a religious idea, right? You can see Jesus as the, you know, think about the pictures that you've seen of Jesus, right? You can see the stoic Jesus, the famous, you know, the famous picture of Jesus looking off into the distance. Or you can see the peace Jesus with the peace and the halo and the heart thing. And we can see Jesus like that, right? We see Jesus, you can see the hippie Jesus and the, you know, Jesus, that Jesus, right? How do you see Jesus is important, right? But those thoughts, what are those, you know, and all of those things. Or you can see Jesus as like trinket Jesus. And I bought my little Jesus friend. Here's Jesus. Everybody say, hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. That's not Jesus. I also have a picture of that's my desk. And there's Jesus and my bubbly nerd, my bubbly water, and my dog in the background. But that's Jesus. He's just with me everywhere I go. He's on my desk, you know, he's with me. I can put him in my pocket. Like, this is like trinket Jesus. Well, maybe I can just rub his head and he'll give me what I want. Uh-oh. Or he's just this idea, or I can just wear him around my neck, right? But Jesus is a lot more than a plastic Jesus. He's a lot more than just a trinket idea. He's also more than just, hey, if I say all and do all the right things, then I'll get all the things that I want. Jesus is bigger than that, right? So we need to re-see Jesus for who he is. Because how are you, I don't know about you, if all Jesus is a way to stay healthy, be blessed, be this, to tell me what's right and wrong, even. If all we see is Jesus in those, you'll never really truly be a worshiper of Jesus. Listen, that kind of thinking about Jesus, I'll awkwardly put him right there. That kind of thinking about Jesus is unattainable to live out the rest of your life. You will not be able to sustain. People now are doing what's the phrase? When I'm deconstructing my faith, right? And people like turn away from God. And they quote unquote deconstruct their faith. Well, I'm really going back and looking at what I really believe. And what happens is they say, well, I remember this one pastor I saw and he was a jerk. Right? Oh, hang around me. I may be a jerk at times. Ask my family. I remember this guy, and all he wanted was my money. And all the examples that I ever saw about anybody who called themselves a Christian, right? And they deconstruct, they're not really deconstructing their faith, they're just trying to figure out a way to get out of it.
Yeah.
So they deconstruct their faith, but they don't look at what they need to be looking at. They look at all of the stuff that happens. And also, remember, how many of y'all have ever taken a personality test? We did that. We're doing this as a staff, and it has been interesting. And we were actually at our staff meeting this past week, and we were going around the room and we were telling all of our what am I? I'm an ENF. We do the ENFJ, right? That's me. So that'll explain a lot if you go and read. But it was interesting that like the tendency for everybody who takes that personality test is to look at all the things that are the negatives. Isn't that interesting? That's what we do as humans, right? So the tendency for people is to look at all the negative things about the faith, and then they quote-unquote deconstruct it, and then they lose their faith. But they forget to look at all of the things like Operation Christmas Child, like all the good that the churches do in the world, things like the Hope Center, places like the Encompass Ministry across the street, people like Jane Junbei and Kelvin, who will actually be here in a few weeks. How about that? And then Nancy in Honduras, all the things that people are doing through the name of Jesus all over the world. Great things are being accomplished through the name of Jesus. But our tendency is to look at all the negative, right? So what we want to do this morning is I want to remind you what we believe about Jesus. What does the scripture say about Jesus, right? And so we talked about the picture of our trinket Jesus. I want to read the Psalms real quick. And a little bit more of my intro. It says, "Not to us, O Lord, but to your name give glory. Because of your faithful love, because of your truth, Why should the nation say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in heaven, and he does whatever he pleases." The idols, you know, we can see Jesus as an idol, right? The idols. That's me. "Their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths, but they can't speak. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they cannot hear, noses, but they can't smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel, feet, but cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throats. Those who make them are just like them. All who trust in them Israel, trust in the Lord. He is your help, and he is your shield." Like when we get the idea that all Jesus is a trinket, or a thing that we look to, or not just the person of Jesus, when we look at him as just as a trinket idea and just a religious philosophy, we lose the actual amazingness and the active work that God wants to do in us. And we'll talk about that. So these were never the things, they were never the way Jesus, like, can you imagine? Like Jesus gives his life for us and goes away and comes and ascends into heaven, sends the Holy Spirit and says, "Hey, make a really good religion out of me. Make a really good philosophy out of me." No, we have the living nature of God that lives on the inside of us. So how do we go about re-seeing Jesus? Well, going back to the amazing Braves win last night, I am such a sport, y'all, a lot of you, I am such a sports nut. Like, I am, like, it's borderline idol to me, I'll be honest. Some people say, no, it's full all the way on. But, like, so I will watch the game. I will actually watch the game. But then I'll actually go back and watch the highlights. I'll go, "Oh, yeah, I remember that." Or if I happen to miss the game, which I missed the Georgia Tech game because I was watching the Braves game last night, so I'll go back this afternoon and I'll watch, I'll watch the highlights of the Georgia Tech game because I didn't see it. So this morning, I want to give you a highlight reel of Jesus. Let's go back and let's read. I'm going to get plastic Jesus out of here. I want to go back and look at the highlight reel of Jesus. First of all, I want to address the idea that he is God. Jesus is God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Paul says this, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is, He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. That is so not plastic Jesus. He is the firstborn from the dead, so that he may have, may come to have first place in everything. Jesus has first place in everything. Jesus is more than just a guy who has lived on the earth for about 33 years. Jesus is more than just this idea and this image of goodness, right? He is God Almighty, that all things were created by him and for him. It is Jesus. Jesus, he is the very, he says that and that everything that he would have first place in everything. He is Jesus. Listen to the description, some of the descriptions and revelations of Jesus, the book of Revelation of Jesus. It says, Jesus is the ruler over the kings of the earth. The kings, it says, that kings will submit to him. It also says that he is the Alpha. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. We're talking about Jesus. He is the beginning of all things. He is basically the bookends of eternity. This is Jesus. It says that his hair was like wool and his eyes, as John is desperately trying to put words in his mouth of what John is seeing when he sees the risen, glorified Jesus. When he puts words in his mouth, he says his eyes were like flames of fire. And a sword came out of his mouth. That is Jesus. His feet were like brass. Like his feet were like just strength and stability were like brass. And his voice, when he spoke, are like the sounds of many rushing waters. This is Jesus. His countenance was like the sun. You know, the sun that you can't. It says he held the keys of the kingdom. All authority is his and his alone. Jesus. So much bigger than a plastic Jesus. So much bigger than a trinket. How does this change your thinking about Jesus? He is not just, be my buddy Jesus. Oh, he is your friend. But he's also a creator. Your buddy, Jesus, eyes are like flames of fire. When he speaks, things rumble and tremble. He is Jesus. Matter of fact, when Jesus was on the earth, he goes up to the mountain and he says, hey, you three disciples, come up here, I want to show you something. Let me show you who I really am. And his whole countenance changed. And actually, Paul talks about it later on. Hey, I mean, I think it was John, actually. He said, we were on that mountain. We watched it happen. He completely changed. I mean, he left out that in that part of the scripture. He left out the part where, let's build some houses up here and stay. So blown away with the amazingness of who Jesus, all of a sudden the reality, he was like hanging around campfire Jesus with those disciples. And all of a sudden Jesus said, let me show you who I really am. The glory and majesty of our Jesus, the one we serve. Jesus, he may have become like us, but he is nothing like us. He is so far above that when people come into his presence, when the glorified Jesus, when people come into his presence, the first reaction is to bow and worship. That's our God. That's our Jesus. But here's the amazing twist, that he came out of his splendor, took on human flesh for us. For us. Remember how amazing this is? It says in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 6, Paul writes, who existed in the form of God did not consider equality with God something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. That Jesus, in his splendor, remember, he didn't have to do any of it, chose to come in the likeness of man and be born in a manger, of the most humble means, not born of royalty, born of a couple of poor kids. But that's our Jesus. All of that splendor, all of that majesty, all of that glory, and yet he, as Aladdin would say, big Jesus, little bitty living space. So what does that look like, that he took on humanity's form? John chapter 8, let's read a story. Let's take a highlight of Jesus here. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he was at the temple again, and all the people were coming to him. He sat down and began to teach them. Let's just stop there for a second. This is the creator of the world, creator of the universe, just sitting down teaching a couple of people. Let's process this. Then some scribes and Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, making her stand in the center. Teacher, they said, this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say? They asked him to trap him in order that they might have evidence to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground with his finger. When they persisted in questioning him, he stood up and said to them, the one who is without sin, you should be the one who cast the first stone at her. Then he stooped down, creator of the universe, again, and started to continue writing in the ground. And when they heard this, they left one by one, starting with the older men. Only he was left with the woman in the center. When Jesus stood up, he said to the woman, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, Lord, she said. neither do I condemn you. And Jesus said, go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. The compassion of Jesus. Jesus gets confrontational with a group of religious people. And it's interesting because in the law of Moses, it actually says you're supposed to stone the man and the woman. Where was the man? Because if she was caught in the act of adultery, they know who that man is. They didn't bring the man. So here's Jesus defending this woman. Right? And Jesus tells her, hey, nobody's condemning you anymore. I got you. Stop it. And go. Go and stop it. The compassion of Jesus. Jesus is the one who the scripture says they had compassion on the crowd and he fed them all. He said, these people have been here all day. We need to give them something to eat. Compassion. The scripture says that Jesus had compassion on them and delivered them from demonic spirits. Jesus had compassion on them and healed them. Jesus doesn't just speak the word over a leper. He goes up and lays hands on the leper. Because we know that there's other places where Jesus, you know, just spoke the word and healed. He could have done the same thing. Hey, you leper over there, you're healed. No, not our Jesus. He touches. He gets into our mess. He's not afraid to get his hands dirty, as it were, with the mess out of compassion. Compassion is an interesting word, and wait till I read. I don't have it up here, but just listen to this definition of compassion. Compassion means having a sense of deep sympathy and heartfelt feelings of sorrow for someone hurting physically, mentally, or emotionally. It's an unselfish need to reach out and to relieve the unfortunate misery of a person in need. The feeling of regret and pity showing a kind, loving attitude. This is Jesus to a T. Jesus is the definition of compassion. It's the compassion of Jesus for you and I that's displayed so richly in the highlight reel of Gethsemane. When he knows what he's about to go experience. Not just the pain of the actual crucifixion, but carrying the weight of the sin of the world being upon him. So he cries in the garden, Lord, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, this is going to be awful. Father, if there's any other way, let this cup, but nevertheless, if this is the only way, I'll do it. I'll go through it all. Hebrews 12, chapter 1. It says, let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and pioneer, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus understood what he was about to do, but he considered it a joy to go through it. He considered it a joy. You see, when we see Jesus for who He is, it's actually the incentive that pushes us. Actually, it says in the very next verse, in verse 3 of that Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up." So that you won't grow weary. That we look unto Jesus. Let me tell you something really clear. If all you're looking for in this whole thing is the rules of do's and don'ts, and you're just doing the things that you're supposed to do because you're just supposed to do them, it's unattainable and it won't last. But if you do it because you're like, "I am identifying with Jesus. I am identifying with what He did. And if He did that for me, there is nothing I can't give up for Him. There is nothing that I can't do for Him. There's nothing that I won't do for Him." Not to lay down my life for Him is, it's fine. Because, in another scripture it says, because His laws and His things are not, His commandments are not burdensome for me. Because of who He is. Guys, we have to see Him for who He is. We have to see Jesus. It's when we see Him, He pushes us to keep going. As our world grows darker and the sin of our world grows stronger, as the temptations to just be swept down the stream and just float down life with the rest of the world grows stronger, it's not your little plastic Jesus that's going to give you the strength to stand firm. It's going to be you having a revelation of the greatness of who Jesus is. It's going to be because you see Him for who He is. And there's nothing I won't do for Him. How, say it again, remember, how I see Jesus will affect our ability to live out our faith. How we see Jesus will fuel our ability to be generous. How we see Jesus will fuel us to be more loving and kind. How we see Jesus will also give us full assurance of confidence of who we are in Him and what place we have in this world. The more I see Him, I guarantee you, I know, what I know of Cindy O'Leary right over here is that she's passionate for Jesus. And what she does, it drives, sorry to pick on you, Cindy, but what she does is driven by her passion for her love for Jesus. To rescue and save and stand up for the ones who can't speak for themselves and the unborn. So every day, because Jesus drives her on. Because Jesus drives us on. Let me read it again. "For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, so that you won't grow weary." Consider Him. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. Let's all stand together. Come on. Come on. Come on, close your eyes right where you're at. I want you to see Him. And let me say this. You know, it's interesting that we see Jesus in His majesty, the flames of fire that's coming out, His sword that comes out of His mouth, the amazingness of His glory. And then we see Jesus, the compassionate Jesus, laying hands on the lepers, forgiving the girl who was caught in the act of adultery, loving people. Do you understand Jesus didn't change his nature from his glory to when he came to earth? Listen, and he didn't change, like it wasn't God in his glory, now he's compassionate Jesus, and now he's not compassionate. He's still the same. The compassionate Jesus that we see in the highlight reels of the Gospels, the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, those highlight reels where we see him, that is who he is now for you.